Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you be gracious to each and every one of us. As we hear your word, I pray that you open our eyes. We can see the wonderful thing that's written in your gospel and in your law, and help us to walk in the light so that we be truly blessed by you, and help us not just be the hearer of your word, and help us to be the doer of your word, so that indeed we be truly blessed. And I pray that you fill each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit and help us to walk in grace. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul is he's very good in a sense. He lead his people to understand God's word step by step. He show us how to have peace with God, and that peace is a true peace. I want you to circle the word in chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. That peace is a true peace. It's a genuine one. It's not like the false prophet telling the people of Israel, say to them, peace, peace, but indeed they don't have peace. I want you to write that down. That peace is different from Jeremiah chapter 8, when the false prophet dressed the wound of my people, chapter 8 verse 11, as though it were not serious. And the false prophet say to the people of Israel, peace, peace, when there's no peace. Brother and sister, I would like you to, when you come to the church, I want you to go home and study God's word, okay? Because when you go to a church, very likely you will hear the pastor preaching to you, peace to you. But you have to realize that whether you really have the peace of God or not. Don't just say when people say peace to you, then you will have peace. Okay? You really have to understand. I read that to you one more time. Chapter 8, verse 11, Jeremiah. The false prophet dressed the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there's no peace. He didn't say it once. He said it twice. The first time he say in chapter 6 of Jeremiah. Chapter 6, verse 14. They dressed the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there's no peace. And all those people in the Old Testament, except the prophet, except some of the people who know God's word, they think they have peace. When they hear the prophet say to them, peace to you, and they think they receive the peace. But indeed, they don't have the peace. Because they don't attain the peace by faith. The key word in understanding Romans chapter 5, verse 1 is, since we have been justified by faith through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay? First of all, two keywords. Keyword number one is faith. Keyword number two is Jesus Christ. These two, the Jewish people, they don't have. They thought they get peace by the sacrifice they offer to God. They don't know that sacrifice is the Lamb of God. They don't know that. They don't know Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. They thought they can attain peace by their action, by offer sacrifice, by keeping the Sabbath, go to the synagogue. I think a lot of Christians have the same thing too. The key word for us to really attain the peace is have faith in Jesus Christ. Have faith in Jesus Christ. The seriousness of believing in Jesus Christ is recorded in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. When Peter is a Jewish apostle, and he is also the apostle to the Jews, because he realized that a lot of Jews, they don't have salvation. They thought they have salvation, but they don't. That's why Peter said that salvation is found in no one else, not found in sacrifice, not found in man, not found in any action that you have done. For there's no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. We must be saved through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. No other person can give you salvation. So, go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we can only attain peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because when we put our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, then you have choose peace. I want you to circle the word peace and go back to chapter 1, verse 18. When you have peace from God, that means you no longer have wrath from God. 1:18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness, right beside the godlessness and wickedness. You write down Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. Only the Son of God, Jesus Christ, can give you peace. Anyone who believes in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, anyone who is in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has peace without having the wrath of God. Not 3:16, I say 3:36. A lot of people only know Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. A lot of people, they don't know 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Has eternal life mean has righteousness from God, justified from God. But whoever reject the Son, Jewish people reject the Son. Muslim people reject the Son. Buddha people reject the Son. But Christian receive and believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Whoever reject the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remain on him. Before we come to know Jesus Christ, God's wrath is in us, but we don't even know that. And now that we believe in Jesus Christ, we no longer have God's wrath unless we did something that sins against God. Is there a possibility for a Christian to have God's wrath? You bet. You turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. You take a look at that. You understand. The book of Ephesians wasn't written to non-Christian. The book of Ephesians was written to a Christian. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, that letter was written to the saint in Ephesus, written to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Because Paul wanted to make sure that his people, his audience, will not receive God's wrath anymore. I read that to you. Chapter 5, verse 5. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty word. For because of such things, God's wrath come on those who are disobedient. Brother and sister, this word wasn't written to the non-Christian. Why? Because non-Christian. Gospel of John 3:36, non-Christian, that one, and all same as the Roman chapter 1 verse 18, non-Christian, already in God's wrath already. Okay? God's wrath is upon them for the non-Christian. Because non-Christian reject the Son. But now that we receive the Son, now that we believe in the Son, Paul wants to make sure that God's wrath is not on us anymore. Get rid of all these filthy things that God is displeased with, then you won't have God's wrath, right? So I want you to write that down. Ephesians 5:5-6. This is what we do to run away from God's wrath. Brother and sister, that's why I say you have to read the Bible yourself. Don't just listen. Because when you listen, people, they are afraid of you. They won't tell you something that you don't like to hear. And you thought you are safe. You thought you have peace. And lo and behold, when the storm comes, you fall down. And you fall down, you don't even know why you fall down. Because that's from the wrath of God. Okay? Go back to Romans chapter 5. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Through whom we have gained access by faith in this grace in which we now stand. Wow, this verse 2 is very, very good. Through Jesus Christ, we not only has been justified. 2 weeks ago, we heard what Paul saying that anyone who has been justified, he will receive the kingdom of God. That means anyone who has been justified will receive eternal life from God. They will see life. Anyone who has been justified will not have God's wrath anymore as long as you remain in the grace. I want you to write that down. Circle the word this grace. You write down Gospel of John 1:16. In order for us not to receive any more God's wrath, from the fullness of His grace, we have received one blessing after another, then you won't have God's wrath. John saying to us that from the fullness of this grace, we all have received one blessing after another. God wants us to keep on receiving God's grace. That's why once we justify, God brings us into this grace that we can stand. We want to stand in the grace. Anyone who stands under the law will face God's wrath. For wherever there's no law, there's no transgression. Wherever there's a law, there's a transgression. And that's God's wrath too. So God moved each and every one of His believers away from under the law, now stand in grace. I want you to circle the word stand. The word stand is very, very important. Because the wicked people cannot stand in the righteous assembly. When we face judgment of Jesus Christ, no one can stand unless you are Christian. I want you to go to Psalm chapter 1. Verse 5. The wicked people will not be able to stand in the judgment. Psalm chapter 1, verse 5. Therefore, the wicked circle the word, will not stand in the judgment. But the righteous people will be able to stand in the judgment because he stands in the grace. He's not under law. He's under grace. And God brings us into this grace. Who are they? They have been justified through faith. When you have been justified, you have to move. Move from where you are and go to Jesus and stand in the grace, in this grace. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinner will be able to stand in the assembly of the righteous. Only the righteous people will be able to stand before God. I also want you to write that down, this grace, other than write down Psalm 1:5, I want you to write that down. Hebrew chapter 4, verse 16. Or you can write 4:14 to 16. Okay? Hebrew chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. You write that down. This grace. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to this faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace, circle the word, the throne of grace. That is the grace that we can stand. We are not standing in the judgment seat of Christ. We are standing in the throne of grace. This is why the Bible says, this grace that you stand. Very specific. This grace is the throne of grace. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. To find grace. You write down Gospel of John 1:16. From the fullness of his grace, we all can receive one blessing after another. We need blessing in order to be able to stand in the time of need so that we won't fall. Okay? We need God's grace to sustain us. We need mercy from God. How can we receive mercy? I want you to write that down. Right beside receive mercy. You write down Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He who conceal his own sin, refuse to acknowledge his own sin, refuse to confess his sins, will not be prosperous. Whoever confesses and renounces, and we receive mercy from God. Brother and sister, when we go to the throne of grace, what should we do? When we go to the throne of grace, we confess our sins. We confess that Jesus Christ is sinless, and I am sinful, ever since I was in my mother's womb. And we confess our sin before the Lord. We do not cover it up. We confess it, and we renounce it. We say, God, help me. I don't want to do it anymore. And then you will receive mercy, and you will find grace. And you will receive one blessing after another. I say that one more time. The first thing that we have to receive from Jesus Christ is justification. Justification is the same word as righteousness. That's the first step you have to receive. Second step, you have to stand in the grace. This grace. How do I stand in the grace? It's up to you. If you approach God daily by studying his word, his gracious word, and cry out to God according to his promise, you are standing in his grace. I say that one more time. We are all sinners. We are in this wicked world. This world is not clean. This world is under the control of Satan. So it's very easy for Christians to fall into the trap. But sometimes people fall into the trap, they don't even know. They thought it's okay, and it's not okay. Unless we read the Bible, we find out that, yeah, we are not okay. So we ask God to forgive us, and so that we can stand in this grace. I go back to read one more time. We receive justification through faith in Jesus Christ. We stand in this grace. It's also through faith, Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, in verse 2, through Jesus Christ, not any other person, not through any other means, for there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Through Jesus Christ alone, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Justification is through faith in Jesus. We gain access to this grace is through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, once we are standing in this grace, the Bible says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Wow, this is loaded with word, you know? Once we receive justification, once we receive this grace, we stand in this grace, gain access into this grace, then we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Sometimes if you just read the Romans chapter 5, without remember what you have written, what you have heard in Romans chapter 3, you don't even know what it means by the hope of the glory of God. It's loaded with words, loaded with a lot of meaning. We need a lot of explanation for that, okay? Let me explain to you what does it really mean. Every time when you see the word hope, that means you haven't received it yet, but you have that hope to receive it, okay? Hope, that means you haven't got it yet. We have the hope of the glory of God. Hope means we haven't received it. How do I know? Would you please turn to Romans chapter 8? Let's hear what Paul say about that. 8:23 all the way to 25. You write that down. 8:23 to 25, right beside the word hope. Not only so, but we ourselves have the first fruit of the Spirit, grown inwardly, as we wait eagerly for our adoption as son, the redemption of our body. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hope for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Hope means God promised you and you believe in it, but you haven't get it yet, and you know you're going to get it. That's what I mean by hope. Okay? Hope. Hope of the glory of God. That means you don't have the glory of God yet, but you will receive the glory of God. That's what it really means. So what do we have? You write that down. Now what do I have? Now, you write down Romans 3:23. For all have sins and foresaw of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We lost the glory of God. That's what we are now. Okay, you have to know that. You don't have the glory of God. We are in deep trouble now. Because when we sin against God, we not only don't have the glory of God, what do we have? We have the wrath of God in 1:18. 3:23, you write down 1:18. We have the wrath of God because we reject the Son, because we are godlessness, because we are wickedness, okay? That's why we have the wrath of God. We don't have the glory of God. And so what should we do? Let's take a look at the Let's take a look at what the Bible say. The Bible say in Psalm chapter 4 verse 6, many people asking, what's the best thing in life? Okay? Many people asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. That's the best thing in your life. When the light of God's face shine upon you, you will receive blessing and your life will be changed and you will receive blessing, one blessing after another. So why do we need the light of God's face shine upon us? I give you one illustration. I hope you understand. You write beside 4-6. You write down Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. That's the testimony of Paul when he was near the Damascus, and the light of Jesus Christ shine upon Saul and change his life. His life was changed from Saul to become Paul. And he was blind, and now he can see. He was what? He foresaw of the glory of God. Now he's clothed with light. So the Bible also say, let's see what the Bible say. Psalm 104 verse 2, God wrapped himself with light as with a garment. So in other words, when we see God, well, let's say when I look at you, what do I see? I see your garment. I see your clothing. I don't see your body. Okay? I see your clothing. But when you look at God, what do you see? You see light. You see light. Okay? When God shine upon you, he's using his light to shine upon you, and your life will be changed. Okay? Because God wrapped himself in light as with a garment. When you study Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sins against God, what's the first thing he realized? He realized he lost the glory of God. He realized he was naked. Before he sins against God, he was wrapped around with light, wrapped around with glory of God. The moment he sins against God, he lost that. What else has he lost? He lost the clothing of light. Number one, what else did he lose? He lost his life. He will die. What else did he lose? He lost the inheritance. He get kicked out. He cannot remain in the Garden of Eden. What else did he lose? He's supposed to what? Rule over all these things that God created. He lost the ruling power. He lose everything. Number four, he lose the power of ruling. That's kingship. When we sin against God, we fall short of the glory of God. We lost all of this good stuff. But brother and sister, when we put our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, once you have been justified, and then you can gain access to this grace, the throne of grace, so that you can receive one blessing after another, you gain all this back. That's why we let us rejoice in the Lord. We gain all this back. You know what? You know why we lost the joy? We see that, wow, you know, nowadays it's very difficult to get a job. Or we get sickness. All we look at is the difficulty. We don't turn our eyes upon Jesus and look at what the Bible says What are we getting? What are we going to get in the future? That's the hope of the glory of God. We're going to gain it back. Okay? We gain the glory of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We can gain it back. So that's why the psalmist say, you know what? You know what the psalmist say? In Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Because when God clothes you with his light, clothes you with Jesus Christ, then you are clothed with salvation too. Then you shall not be afraid of anything. All you have to fear is fear God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 again. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace. We have peace with God. This peace is a genuine peace. It's a true peace. When you know that you have faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have any more wrath from God. You have peace. You have peace with God as long as you gain access to this grace, to this throne of grace from time to time. So that's why the book of Hebrews, the author say that let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that we are standing in the grace. And we can approach to the throne of grace any moment of our life. Whenever we are in need, we can cry out to God and pray to him. Before, we don't know that. Okay, we don't know that we can pray to God. We don't know that he will hear our prayer. Verse 2. Through whom, through Jesus Christ, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Make sure you stand in this grace. Don't get out of this. You know what? Joyce is now preaching in the book of Galatians. The reason why Paul writes the book of Galatians is to the Jewish people. At one time, they hear the gospel from Paul and they believe in Jesus Christ. Later on, they hear the false prophet and come and say, oh, you need to be circumcised. You need to live under the law again. Otherwise, you cannot be a true Christian or a true Jewish. And they go back to live under the law. They're under God's wrath again. And then Paul say, how foolish you are. How foolish you are. Now you stay in grace, you go back away from grace. You're so stupid. In chapter 3, verse 3, that's exactly what it is. Okay? Let's go back. Chapter 5, verse 3. Not only so. Chapter 3, verse 3, not only so, that means we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Why do we rejoice in our suffering? Right beside suffering, there's two kinds of suffering. Two kinds of suffering you should have to rejoice to. The first one, you suffer because you sin against God. Because God's wrath come upon you. Okay? Suffering. Two reasons for the suffering. Number one and number two. Number one, because of your wickedness. You keep on sinning God. Number two, because of your righteous thing you have done, of your righteousness. You write down number one. You write down Psalm 32:10, righteous thing. You write down Psalm 34:19. There are two reasons that you will suffer. You either sins against God, God going to inflict pain upon you, or you do the righteous thing, you follow Jesus to carry the cross, and God allow you to go through pain. What's the reason why to allow you to go through pain under these two situations? The Bible say, when we suffer, suffer produce perseverance. Perseverance means patient. When you keep on waiting, keep on allow God's word to change your life, then it produces character. Your life be changed. Because suffering, the bottom line is to change your character, change your life. Once your life has been changed, then you go back. You have hope. You know you're going to get the glory of God. Because the entire gospel not only tell you that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. The entire Bible tells us that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life, and we also have abundant life. That's what Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 10 is saying. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, come into this world is to give you life, that is eternal life, that is salvation, but to give you abundant life. How can you get abundant life? Is to live a life that your life be totally changed by Jesus Christ. So God allows suffering in our life, and Paul say that we still rejoice in our suffering, because suffering produce perseverance, perseverance produce character, character produce hope. Hope will never disappoint us. Hope will never put us to be shamed, because when we have this hope, it's the hope of the glory of God. When I have the hope of the glory of God, I gain back the life that I lost. Even though I die, I will be resurrected to have eternal life. And I gain back the ruling power, and I will reign with Jesus Christ, not only in the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years, I will reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever. On top of that, I will inherit the world to come, and I will inherit the new heaven and a new earth. You know what? That place, Moses, no mortgage. Because if you're selling mortgage, you get no job. You better train yourself to have another kind of job, you know? Preacher has no job too, because you don't need any people to preach. Choir has job, because we can sing this thing to the Lord all the days of our life. We start learning how to sing. You get a job. Jonathan, get a job. Jonathan, get a job. Oh, man. Brother and sister, suffering is good. Let's say it one more time. Let us rejoice in our suffering. Because eventually, if our life are changed, right beside character, that character is the character of Jesus Christ. Because according to Romans, chapter 8, verse 29 to 30. What did the Bible say? For those God foreknew, God also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. You write that down. That's the character. That's the character God wants us to be like. When he looked at Jesus, he said, this is my beloved Son. When he looked at us through Jesus Christ, that is my beloved children too. He wants us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. I want you to write that down, 8:29, to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. When will we be like that? You write down Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. God, Jesus Christ, going to use his mighty power. That power going to make sure that everything under his control, he's using that power to transform our life, our body, to be, chapter 3, verse 21, to be like what? His glorious body. That's the glory of God. You see that? To transform our lowly body, that they will be like Jesus Christ's glorious body. So when your life is changed, you get all kind of blessing, man. This is what we are hoping for, and that is what we are pursuing. That is what we are chasing after. Okay? Now, go back. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, not only so, we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. How, when we get the hope of the glory of God, how can we feel ashamed? We won't feel ashamed. We'll feel happy. We rejoice. That's thank you, you know, for the faithful servant of Apostle Paul to write that down so that we understand. You either suffer pain when you do the righteous thing, but when you suffer pain, according to 34 verse 19, he will deliver you from all such pain. But woe to those who are wicked. Go back to Psalm 32:10. The wicked people will suffer woe, not just pain, okay? Many are the woe of the wicked. 34:19. Psalm 34, verse 19. A righteous man may have many trouble, may have many suffering, but the Lord deliver him from them all. And at the end, he said, this is my good and faithful servant. Go to verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God has poured out his love into our heart by the Holy Spirit whom God has given us. God has given us the Holy Spirit. This is the second time he mentioned about the Holy Spirit. The first time he mentioned about the Holy Spirit is Romans chapter 1 verse 4. Through the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ. Now this is the second time. When he mentioned this Holy Spirit, it's related to us. God given us the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you know that God loves you. I want to explain to this Bible verse to you what does it really mean. You write beside chapter 5, verse 5. You write down 5, 5. You write down 5, 6, all the way to 11. Brother and sister, we all have the same kind of feeling. When we suffer, we think God's love forsakes us. But that's not true. When you suffer, God's love remains in you. He loves you. That's why he allowed pain in your life. Because he wants your life to be changed. He wants you to live an abundant life. He wants you to receive one blessing after another. And he will give you grace to sustain you. And what's the proof that God's love pour upon us? You write down, right beside Holy Spirit. You write down Matthew 7:11. Write down Luke 11:13. Even though we are wicked father, but we know how to give good gifts to our children if our children ask us to give them blessing. And how much more the Heavenly Father give us the Holy Spirit. That's the best gift. When God gives you the Holy Spirit, then you know God's love will never depart from you. Right beside love, you write down Holy Spirit. And then you write down Romans chapter 8. When you are in suffering, make sure you remember Romans chapter 8. It's very, very precious. I read that to you. 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sore or sufferings? No, nothing will separate you from the love of Christ. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered because these people live a righteous life and yet they suffer. No, in all things, we are more than conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angel nor demon, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother and sister, nothing in this world or in the world to come will separate us from the love of Christ. Not even Satan. Not even Satan. How do I know? Because the Holy Spirit tells us that through Romans chapter 8. Make sure you have the Holy Spirit. Because in Galatians, it's spelled out very clear. Anyone who has the Holy Spirit has no more cursing, but blessing. What kind of blessing? In Galatians chapter 3, the blessing to inherit the inheritance. In other words, when you have the Holy Spirit, you know for sure you're going to inherit the inheritance. Not only in Galatians chapter 3 mentioned about that, also Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 to 14. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee that you're going to inherit the inheritance. When you know that you're going to inherit the inheritance, the present suffering, you say, it's okay, I can take that. A lot of people, you know, when they buy a house, they don't have enough money to buy delicious food, they say, I can take it because I get a good house and I can enjoy my life when I retire. Brother and sister, make sure you have the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have the inheritance. You have no Holy Spirit, you get nothing. You don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't know that God loves you. Because the Holy Spirit can reveal to you what is true, what's not true. Don't let the evil spirit control your life, man. And saying that there's no God to be a fool. Is there a God or there's no God? There's a God, yeah. That's the Holy Spirit telling us. The psalmist, Psalm 14, the fool say there's no God. He's foolish. You know what's the name of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of wisdom. Make us wise so that we know there's a God and there's a God who loved me. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Even though I suffer, even though I'm wicked, I suffer pain and I know that God still loved me. Why? Because in what? In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, as the father loves his children, the father will discipline his children because he loves him. If your parents don't discipline you, that means you are what? You're illegitimate son. Okay? Your stepson, you're not my son. I'm not going to do anything to you. I'll let you die. Right? My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke. Do not resent his rebuke. That means keep on loving the Lord because you know that he loves you. Write that down. Romans 5:5. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father disciplines the son he delights in. Write down 5:5. What's the proof that God loves me? Chapter 5:6 is the proof. You see? At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for the righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinner, Christ died for us. I want to circle the word still sinner in verse 8. Verse 6, still powerless? When we were still powerless, when we were still sinner, and yet God died for us, not because you are good, not because you are righteous, that God died for you. If you are in that situation and God died for you, how much more He will live for you now that you become God's children? Wow. I think I need to explain that. I don't think a lot of people understand that. Everybody look at me, you know. Take a look at the two situations. One situation is in the past. One situation right at the present. Okay? I want you to look at two situations. One in the past. You are powerless. You are a sinner. Under this situation, God say, I die for you. That proves His love. Under the present situation, assuming you still keep on sinning, although you believe in God, you keep on disobeying Him, and then God wrath upon you. Under situation, and you still sin against God, and God wrath upon you, what God going to do? He tell you two things. In the past, because you have faith in Jesus Christ, now you disobey, that's why the wrath of God come upon you. Where does it say? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 to 6. We let people to deceive us. Oh, you come to the church, you are good to go. No, you are not good to go. You have to study the word. You have to find out a way. How do I regain the peace? Make sure that you stand in this grace. Approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that. Listen to me very carefully. When you are powerless, when you are a sinner, and when you hear the word of God, you hear the gospel, you still can approach to the throne of grace and find mercy and receive grace. How much more now at the present? You are God's son. You are God's children. At one point in time, you are enemy. Now you are friend of God. You are descendant of Abraham. And when you confess your sins just like David, and ask God to forgive you, will God not forgive you? Of course God will forgive you. In the past, you confess your sins and He forgave you. Now you are God's son. You are God's children. You confess your sin. Will He not forgive you? Definitely He will forgive you. That's what Paul trying to say. Let me read that to you. You see, verse 6, at just the right time, at the Passover feast, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. At that time, we were ungodly. We are powerless. And very, very, will anyone die for the righteous man? Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. How did He demonstrate His love? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is the proof that God loved us by His action. And how do I know? Because in 5:5, the Holy Spirit helped me to understand this scripture. Verse 9. Since we now have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we save from God's wrath through Him? Circle the word God's wrath. There's still God's wrath to God's children. If there's no God's wrath to God's children, the Israelites will not suffer that much pain in the hand of Germany people, okay? Since we have now been justified by His blood, that means by His death, okay? He died on the cross, He shed the blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? Through Him, that means through the life of Jesus, through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, for if when we were God's enemy, We were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Circle the word, the death of his son, link up with his blood. His blood talk about the death of his son. If we were reconciled to God through his blood, through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved? Saved what? Saved from God's wrath through his life. Make sure that you allow Jesus' life to live in your life. When you have Jesus Christ's life live in your life, you allow Jesus Christ to control your life, no more wrath. The moment you walk away from Jesus Christ, you're under God's wrath. Verse 11, not only is this so, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Father and sister, I want to conclude in one word. If we were powerless, godless, sinner, enemy of God, and yet we hear the gospel, we approach to the throne of grace, at that time, we heard about that, we can cry out to God, confess our sin, and our sin will be forgiven. And how much more now? He will forgive our sin. But now we have to grow. How do we grow? If we don't grow, God will keep on allowing suffering in your life until your life is changed. Just like you write that down right beside the suffering, God allows suffering in the life of Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4. He suffered pain for 7 years. He turned around. He gained back his life. He gained back his kingdom. He gained back his wisdom. He gained back his ruling power. He gained back the glory of God. You write down? Daniel, chapter 5. Daniel is a righteous man. He was thrown in the lion's den, but God delivered him. Whether you are righteous or not righteous, you will suffer pain in this world. But you know what? This kind of suffering eventually will change your life. That means eventually, you will surrender to Jesus, say, yes, Jesus, live in me. And you will have abundant life. Our Heavenly Father, help us to understand what you have written to us. Help us to remember that. In our suffering, help us to remember that nothing separates us from the Christ, from the love of Christ, and also from the love of God. Thank you for loving us, for dying on the cross when we were yet sinner, when we were yet powerless, when we were yet your enemy. Now we become your friend. We want to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Help us so. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.